When we left off last time, we were in the Mojave Desert, 130 miles east of Los Angeles. We were lost in the steel forest of wind turbines in the San Gregorio Pass. We were not only 130 miles away from LA, we were several years away from now. A day when the last of those thousands of wind turbines would take its final revolution and cease to spin, despite the constant, powerful, eternal wind. The blades of the turbine creaked to a stop, same as all the others had, with a screech of metal on metal. Not from temperature or rust, but because there was no one left to grease the bearings. Nature needs no maintenance. Untended, it replicates and thrives. It does just fine. But the crap that we make, no matter how we design and build it to last, it doesn't. Just look at the broken face on the Sphinx. Once there were seven wonders of the world. Only the great Giza pyramid remains, and it doesn't look so good either. For half a century, those wind turbines spun in that desert, and the sound of them, the whoosh of the massive fan blades, the thrum of their generators, became as much a part of the music of the desert as the maniacal laughs of coyotes or the slithering rattlesnakes across the sand. When those blades ceased to spin, did those animals notice? Did they pause and wonder what that final creaky turn of the turbine meant? Maybe on some primal level, the most intelligent of the desert denizens, those coyotes, maybe those guys thought, shit, the humans are all gone. But they left behind all this ugly junk, all this crap. Who's gonna take away all this crap?
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
The desert has a way of erasing the mistakes we make. It's amazing how quickly it swallows up ruins or sandblasts things into obscurity. A self-healing biome. When I was there a couple of weeks back, I wandered through a place for about an hour and declared that this place had all the crap in the world. But amid all that crap, there was wisdom to be gleaned. And it didn't cost a cent. But before we go there, I must mention that this is episode 300 of That Larry Show. And I am Larry. New listeners find this show all the time, and it's been way, way too long since I gave a quick overview about the show, where it is, and why it exists. First, the where. It's recorded each week at the Take No Shit Dojo, located at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. That intersection will not be found on any GPS. The why is to hang with you, have a few laughs, tell a story or two, and maybe help you face various situations and emerge victorious. To be your wingman as you cruise through the relentless barrage of shit-spraying ack-ack guns, manned or womaned by assholes. Assholes at work, school, wherever, and emerge unscathed and triumphant. Shit comes in many forms. There's the shit thrown at us almost everywhere we go. Might be idiotic PC school mandates or brainwashing seminars required by employers. Maybe it's your family giving you shit, trying to load you up with guilt or belittle your accomplishments or crap on your girlfriend, boyfriend, or hobbies. We constantly get shit, even from cretins whose salaries we pay, don't we? Banks and cell phone companies and airlines, and let's not forget the U.S. government. They dish out mountains of shit. Some people think crap and shit are synonyms, but they're not. You can say crap on TV or radio, but you can't say shit. Crap is PG-rated shit, but it's only semantics. Crap is the stuff in the bottom of the hall closet or in the attic. You can throw crap away in cardboard boxes. Shit must be flushed. So up there in the high desert, in an area called Joshua Tree, I had a good long look at a local attraction. The Sky Village Swap Meet. Swap meet is a West Coast term. In the East, they used to call them flea markets. But then the Martha Stewart wannabes thought that was too downscale and began calling them tag sales, which is kind of idiotic. Don't items in the fanciest stores have tags on them? Yes, they do. You also see them called trading posts. That sounds kind of Old Westish, doesn't it? But I've never seen any trades made at them. All I've ever seen is cash for crap. Maybe that would be the most truthful name for them. Cash for crap markets. I never had too much interest in them until I saw some episodes of that antique roadshow. You see some guy bringing a so-so looking canvas or an end table and he finds out it's worth $500,000. Or those things that looked like ugly coffee mugs and turned out to be carved Chinese rhino horns worth $1.5 million. I suppose it's a little like prospecting, but you don't have to stake a claim or swing a pick and shovel. People may say they go to those things looking for deals or bargains, but what they're really looking for is an ignorant seller. Someone who may not realize that the dusty old lamp they found in dead grandma's basement is actually a Tiffany original worth six figures. So there's an element of dishonesty about it, which cuts both ways. The seller may know his wares are worthless crap he'd have to pay somebody to haul away, but he's hoping he'll encounter some rube of a buyer who doesn't know the blender he's buying for $2 has a leaky gasket, and the only working speeds on it are slow and stop. So this place was just off Route 62, on the acreage of what was formerly a drive-in theater. There was a flimsy fence surrounding it, and plenty of signs about masking up and social distancing and no dogs. There was no admission fee, no one at the gate to tell us we couldn't bring moose inside, and within moments I realized many of the vendors had dogs with them. The place was huge. It covered many acres. My wife and kids have dragged me around to plenty of swap meets and flea markets over the years, from ones on people's front lawns. Those used to be called garage sales. Now they've taken to calling them estate sales. From those to the massive Rose Bowl flea market, where you could easily outfit a large home with everything, furniture, clothing, appliances, etc. Then there's my kids' favorite, the hipper-than-thou Melrose Trading Post in West Hollywood. But all the ones I've ever seen had at least a semblance of organization, people specializing in whatever, handmade jewelry or scented candles or antique hardware, books, movie posters, stuff like that. But the Sky Village Swap Meet in Joshua Tree looks as if dozens of dump trucks loaded up at some landfill and then hauled ass over to the swap meet and pulled that lever and let hundreds of tons of crap tumble onto tables or blankets on the ground. It literally looks like all the crap in the world. Toasters and microwaves thrown together with books and hand tools and napkin rings and Melmac dishes piled many feet high. You would need a miner's helmet and a pickaxe to sort through it looking for what? As I stood there gaping at consumer crap piled shoulder high as far as the eye could see, I thought, what the fuck have we wrought? I also wondered, how much crap do we collect? Turns out people have studied this, and their findings are eye-popping. Seems we Americans are pack rats on steroids. First clue are the square miles of self-storage places that seem to be everywhere. Those are a relatively recent phenomena. My kids used to watch that show, Storage Wars, where people would bid on abandoned storage lockers. I never understood how that show lasted as long as it did. They never found anything worth over $100. All crap. Crap under lock and key. With a monthly payment to warehouse the crap. Shield it from the elements. Protect it from crap thieves. Some study says the average American household contains 300,000 items. Sounds hard to believe. They were counting individual paper clips, maybe grains of salt too, but it is true that the average home is three times larger now than it was 50 years ago, even though families are smaller. American homes also have more TV sets than people. There are over 50,000 self-storage facilities in the country, which pencils out to 8 square feet of rentable space to hold your crap for every man, woman, and child. All 330 million of them. Add to that the amount of crap in homes and flea markets and swap meets. Oh, it's staggering. Now, here's the money stat. In our lifetimes, we spend 153 days, not hours, days, looking for misplaced crap. Sunglasses, house keys, car keys, phones, nail clippers, paperwork, receipts for the IRS, and on and on and on. One of the most downloaded shows I've ever done was called Larry Flames, The Time Bandits. You'll find it at thatlarryshow.com in the March 2017 tab. In that show, I went off on all the entities that steal our precious time. Schools that demand we attend idiotic classes. Bosses assigning busy work. Lines at the goddamn DMV, in airports, and delayed flights and traffic jams. Well, we lose a third of our allotment just to sleep. The average person only lives for 25,000 days. That's not all that much. And when I extrapolated how much time we actually have in our lives to do what we want to do, it's a pathetically small amount, just 8,800 days to call our own. In that episode, I thought I'd covered all the bases, but I missed looking for crap we've lost. 153 days! Holy shit! And then, add in looking to acquire more crap at flea markets or malls or fucking Amazon. Well, why the hell are we even born in the first place? But at least when we depart, we mulch. But the crap we collect does not. What is it about things that fascinate us? As a kid, I sometimes haunted junkyards looking for parts. I'd often stare at some car that had once been magnificent and was now picked clean as a day-old Thanksgiving turkey. I'd stare at an old muscle car and imagine the buyer in the showroom haggling with a salesman trying to work out a payment that wouldn't break him. But the movie in his head would override logic or financial considerations because he'd see himself in that ride, blasting down two-lane blacktop, maybe on a desert road, maybe hugging the shoreline with a tang of salt air in his nostrils. What pointy vixen would he envision in the passenger seat? A slinky blonde? A sturdy brunette? Where would they be heading? Did it matter? Not really. Odds are, 95% of that car's road life was ferrying him to and from work, until some vixen laid claim to that passenger seat, and then to him, and then soon? Well, do you really need a flashy and practical gas-guzzling muscle car when you've got two kids and all the crap they need for sustenance? Time for a spacious minivan, or SUV. Cars trigger almost as many fantasies as women do, but a lot of the other crap we collect is fueled by fantasies, isn't it? As I wandered through the mountains of crap in the desert, I spotted a lopsided poker table. The green felt was curling at the edges. The grooves for chips were thick with dust. Oddly, it didn't look very used. There were no cigarette burns, no rings on the wood from drink glasses. It looked as if it had aged only from age. sitting in a basement or a garage for how many decades? Some dude, somewhere, had probably laid out a grand or two for that thing. Did the movie in his head play out as planned? Did his pals come over and bring good beer and smooth booze and cigars? Were there plenty of jokes and laughs? Did everybody win or lose with grace and no hard feelings? Or did something go wrong early in that table's lifespan? Did the wife complain about the smoke and raucous laughter and drinking late into the night or morning? Did she issue an ultimatum? Maybe somebody got loaded and lost more than he could afford, and there were fisticuffs, and that retired the table to the basement. Hopefully he was able to at least partially live that dream, and there were a few good games and laughs before the table was mothballed. Pretty much everything at that swap meet must have some history, a story. How many of the tarnished necklaces were worn to proms and weddings? What were those girls' expectations the first time they fastened the catches around their necks? And how did those baubles wind up there, forgotten in the high desert? From the way all the crap is piled up, it looks as if, unlike most flea markets, the vendors never pack up their wares at the end of the day. It just sits out there, week after week. Plenty of high desert dwellers are convinced intergalactic visitors roam that area. Do they sweep through the swap meet, looking for bargains? Maybe those little green men have psychometric abilities and can read the history of every necklace and blender in the place. Maybe the visions they see beat anything writers or movie studios could come up with. Maybe they sit at that tilted poker table and play a few hands of five-card draw by starlight. Maybe they know exactly why that table lacks any signs of use. Does its story make them smile or sadden them at the folly of the thwarted plans of men and women? Some tables display what was termed local art, created by artisans. When did artists become artisans? I'm not sure. Those are as bizarre as the piles of nondescript crap. Many of them featured what I call doll head art. When you want to make something look creepy, stick a mannequin's head on it. If you want to make it look even creepier, stick a doll head on it. A lot of their art falls into the category of repurposed shits and giggles, like the propane tank somebody used for target practice. Once it has so many holes in it, it whistles in a breeze and bullets pass noiselessly through existing holes, then what do? Well, it's simple. Paint it some fiesta color and stick it right next to your doll art diorama. Maybe some yutz from the city will give you a few bucks for it. Near life-size rusty renderings of animals are also a staple of desert artisans. Dinosaurs, stallions, steers, there's even a full-scale stagecoach driver and horse team. The driver is shooting as he drives at what? Looked like he was drawing a bead on a battered old Maytag. The incongruent icing on the cake of weirdness was the musical soundtrack that blanketed the place, blaring from tinny stadium speakers that drooped from 30-foot poles. The Beach Boys. Not a body of water within 150 miles. Blazing sun and winds dry enough to shrivel a brass doorknob. And you're hearing about surfing, Sloop John B, and the tropical paradise of Kokomo. When the sun goes down and the spacemen take their seats at that poker table, do they stuff that Beach Boys tape into the 8-track player? Do they mix a batch of pina coladas in that blender with a crumbling gasket and magically make it spin at 3,000 RPMs with the point of their ET-like bony finger? Do they hop on the back of a rusty T-Rex and take a few laps around the property? Somehow, I don't doubt it. There's some nutty sorcery, some hypnomagnetism about the desert. And if it pulls us from mere miles away, it probably attracts those from light years away. I've been hooked on the Mojave since I first set foot in it as an 18-year-old kid. You can relive that very moment with me in episode 15, Larry's Road Trip to Destiny. It's in the March 2017 tab at thatlarryshow.com. The single most listened to episode of all. You may dig it. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. Some of you have been with me from the very start. And for those of you who just joined, welcome. There are many more places we've yet to check out together. Be sure to stop by the show page for pictures of everything. Doll art, shot up propane tanks, rusty dinosaurs, and more. And while at thatlarryshow.com, click the subscribe button so you never miss a show. If you really like what you heard, click the Patreon or the PayPal button and help support the show. Join the Take No Shit Dojo. It's a wonderful place filled with bonus episodes, signed books, custom recordings, and the fellowship of others who know what time it is. Follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Mastodon. You can find links to all those places on the show page. If you want to write to me, I'm at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I saw a lot more things while up there in high desert. Maybe I'll get into that next time, or maybe we'll take a detour down an unknown, unmarked road. Those are the best kind, aren't they? I'll see you next Wednesday, and until that time, take no shit.